This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire pods, search for us on iTunes or check out bluewirepods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I am fantastic, Joshua. And we should mention this week's episode is brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Getting ready for this podcast, I was struck by how isolated I have felt over the last, month and a half, much like everyone. But all I have to do is crack open a beer, plug in a microphone, and suddenly I'm talking to you and thousands of other people out there listening to Always Cheating. Yeah. Like, it's these little miracles that get me through the day, Josh.
Used to be tens of thousands, Brandon, in our pre-quarantine lives. People are still hanging on. Thank you to everyone.
It's my mom, your mom, and everyone else's mom.
Yep. And thank you to everyone who's sticking with the podcast. And we've been trying our best to keep it fun and interesting. And in this week's, there isn't too much news on the fantasy front, the English Premier League front. And so, I think last week we talked a little bit about how people are getting by. How is your fantasy team doing, Brandon? My virtual fantasy team.
Yeah. Actually, I had a fantastic week today. It was match week 6 in virtual fantasy. For those of you not in the know, you go to livefpl.net/signup, and I scored 99 points, one shy of a century, and I'm up to like an OR rank of 24. A special shout out to our listener and producer patron Nick Wright, who is currently ranked number 2 overall in the world in virtual FPL.
So he's 2, you're number 24, and there's 30 people playing this, so that's pretty good.
I think it's up to around like 3200 actually. Okay. And it's truly a wild thing. Players like Jack Grealish, who are like perfect fourth midfielders in regular FPL, in virtual FPL, every time you run the simulation on an Aston Villa match, it's Grealish with a yellow card and no attacking returns. He is awful in virtual reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's a scourge that probably follows Jack Grealish around in his real life. Yeah. Like virtually, people think he sucks. Well, reality, he's not bad.
Because he kind of made the leap this year, right? And so as the virtual game based on what he looked like going into the season, because that would be the difference.
I think that's the issue with a lot of these data-driven things. And I mean, I think EA Sports FIFA falls into this trap too of, you get the accumulation of seasons of data. Even just one season ago, you're looking at that data for somebody like Jack Grealish. It is there are players, like really great players, that make these leaps where suddenly last season's data is irrelevant and you can't go by that. And I think that is the downfall a lot of this data driven stuff that we're looking at now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to be missing it. And congratulations to Nick Wright. And I know that a lot of people are enjoying the Championship Manager too. One of our producers, Brennan, was one of the creators of that. And so shout out to Andy Martin, by the way. He sent me a nice note earlier this week. And so anyway, yeah, we're into week X. I don't even know anymore. I can't even count the weeks that we've been in isolation. Yeah, now
we're so, like American soldiers on the Western Front now, like D-Day plus who knows what. Just get me out of here. I want to go home.
Four. Yeah, exactly. So this week's pod, we're doing a draft, Brandon. This week's draft is dumb things we miss from our pre-quarantine lives. Okay. Got a lot of good ones. I'd workshop this a little bit with my wife too. She had lots of suggestions. Manny Petty was
high on her
list.
We're getting a Yoko Ono appearance on the Always Cheney podcast.
Manny Petty was high on her list. It does not crack my top five. I'm just going to warn you right now. That was the top of hers though. So we don't want this to be a sad one though. I don't want this to be things we miss, like, seeing our grandparents or whatever, can get pretty grim.
Josh, so, I promised I wouldn't cry in this episode of the podcast.
So that is the theme of this week's episode. We're going to draft those. I both have a bunch of different picks. I'm hoping you don't pick mine because I'm four strong and my fifth is a wild card. Okay. So okay. I hope you don't take one of my precious four. But first, I wanted to check in. How's everything going? If you watch anything good, have you consumed any media that you've actually enjoyed? You know, did you find something that you maybe wouldn't have found without social isolation?
Yeah, something that we've been talking about is the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, mm-hmm. and it's on ESPN, and I think it's, global. I've certainly heard the Irish lads on Second Captains talking about The Last Dance, and this is... It's like secondary ESPN. You primarily go there for live sports content, which we don't have right now. The OJ Simpson, 10-part documentary that was like a big epic thing a couple years ago, I just never watched because whenever I would land in the ESPN sphere, I wouldn't be looking for original programming. I just wanted live content.
Yeah. Get you in and out, right? It's like, get me in when it starts, get me out when it's over.
And, it's a problem of mine because, if the OJ Simpson documentary were on Netflix, I'd probably just be all over it, second nature. But this Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, it's all about the sixth title that Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and Phil Jackson all won. And this totally takes me back to the surprise they won. No, it's assumed. It's all part of the buildup. But I don't follow the NBA terribly closely right now, but in 1991, I remember having a corduroy baseball hat that had Chicago Bulls and cursive threading in it. It was and I would put it on my hair that was heavily gelled at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a mixture of Pat Riley and Phil Jackson wearing a hat, but my hair was heavily gelled. So this show has taken me back to when I really loved the NBA and when Michael Jordan was the most recognizable person, leave sports aside on the planet. And that's just been a really fun, nostalgic thing to ingest.
I have also been enjoying that immensely. And in fact, we're recording this on Sunday evening. And when we are done recording, I am going to go watch the next two episodes, which are airing at 9 p.m. this evening in the States. So yeah, if you're in the States and you haven't seen it, definitely do. I think maybe it might be actually on Netflix overseas. But regardless, I personally had kind of a throwback movie experience last night. That's one that really brought me back to what I used to do 2 or 3 months ago, which is my wife went to bed early, 9:30 or something like that, or 9 o'clock. And I was like, I'm going to watch a movie that she would never watch. I'm just going to go out and you know, I'm gonna
behind the green door.
Yeah, I'm trying to find like, but you know, like super serious, like I have like a list, like, you know, a bunch of things in my queue that are like 3 hours long that are like, mm-hmm. you know, often like, you know, foreign language films or just things that like, you know, pop up in best of, you know, like end of year best of lists, movies I will never probably watch. So I was like, you know what, but I want to find something completely different this time. And so I went to, I started reading all these roundups of like the best movies on Netflix that you haven't seen yet, the best movies on HBO Now that you haven't, you know, all of these different mm-hmm. things. And I spent so long reading all of these articles and compiling a list of movies to watch on the Notes app, my phone, that by the time I was ready to watch something, it was like 10:50 and all these different movies. I was like, oh wait, I can't watch. This is like 2 hours and 35 minutes. And finally I was like, you know, maybe I'll watch Bone Tomahawk. I was like, I've never seen it. Yeah, you know, that'll be fun.
Oh my God. And then you watched Bone Tomahawk last night.
Well, what was crazy? Okay, so here's the
clear out. This is all we're talking about for the rest of the episode. I'm sorry.
Here's how I know I'm getting older, though, Brandon. I was like, this does sound like fun. It's been recommended to me. Let me watch the trailer. And I watched the trailer, and like a minute of the trailer, I was like, oh, I watched this. I have already seen this like a year ago, and I apparently now have forgotten that I've seen movies. And like, I was never that person. It was just like, oh, I'll watch this movie. Then I'm like, nope, I've seen this movie.
How do you forget Bone Tomahawk when that guy like gets cleaved? Like, well,
once I saw the trailer, it started to come back to me. But I'm gonna blame the quarantine, okay? And just it's messing with my brain right now. Convince me that I had never seen Bone Tomahawk when I very much had. So anyway, I've got some other contenders though, for the next couple of days. You want me to give you a couple? All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you've seen a couple of these. All right. Under the Silver Lake. Have you seen this one? This is a,
that's the follow-up to It Follows, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Andrew Garfield.
That's on the list. Rob Roy. I've never seen that. I've decided
Rob Roy, not just a drink, it's a movie. Yeah, what is Rob Roy?
I think I'm going to make Rob Roy. It's with Liam Neeson. And it's Jessica Lange, early 90s. You remember Rob Roy? Yeah.
I remember Liam Neeson's. Love it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to remove Bone Tomahawk from my list. How about Warrior? I've never seen Warrior with Joel Edgerton what's his name?
Yeah, did we mention Warrior on our favorite sports? It's Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, right?
Tom Hardy, yeah.
I think maybe we mentioned Warrior briefly on our best sports movies podcast from like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Love Warrior. It's I do not like Ultimate Fighting at all. It's just a little too close mm-hmm. for me,
yeah,
or like brawly, but the movie is awesome, like incredible performances, and it's just one of those great sports movies that builds up to an epic climax and you're just like totally there emotionally.
That's what I've heard, and because I'm not a huge UFC guy either, which is why I've sort of stayed away from it, but yeah, I so that one's up on the list. And then I guess one more would be End of Watch. Have you ever seen that with Jake Gyllenhaal? That one's supposed to be good as well. And it's got the guy who acts opposite him is somebody I really like. And I can't think of his name right now. So this is just great pod content, Brandon. Just start to finish. Michael Pena.
I have seen End of Watch. Yeah. And it's Michael Pena. Yeah, he is amazing in everything that he's in. End of Watch is one of those movies where it's, well, check it out. Let me know what you think.
Oh, that means he didn't like it, but that's okay. We'll see.
doesn't mean anything. I'm like famous for not liking most movies, so don't take my word
that
for
is
it.
True. You walked out of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation or something like that, which I still blew me
only
away.
Because I thought there was a bomb in the bathroom. Okay. Everyone knows this. It was not to besmirch the movie itself, but only because I thought there was a pipe bomb in the bathroom. It turns out I was just really drunk.
All right, so that's how we're doing, which is we're doing exactly the same as we were last week. A quick shout out, Brandon, to everyone who supported the Black Horse. We sent out a notice. You sent it a couple days ago that the Black Horse was doing a fundraiser for all of the employees that no longer have a job. Well, since it's been out of business for the last 6 weeks or so, and you know, it really is a Brooklyn soccer slash football institution. It's mm-hmm. the place where, you know, we've brought it up a billion times on the podcast. It's just a very warm place with some of the best staff and, you know, and tons of TV. I mean, it's just a great place to watch all sports. You know, it sort of morphs into a standard sports bar during the rest of the day. But it's, you know, just, it's a place that, that did a little like, hey, we need your help. And so, we sort of put the word out to people on social media and then people on our Patreon Slack. And, a lot of people, came out and supported it. And, it was very cool.
Yeah. I'll put the link in the show notes of this episode for the GoFundMe page. So if you want to check out the GoFundMe for the Black Horse to help support the staff who are out of work there, just click the show notes and follow the link there, or go to GoFundMe.com and just search simply for Black Horse. But
yeah,
a special shout out to all of our listeners who have chimed in. And it's like pretty much everyone who's listening to this episode, you've never stepped foot inside the Black Horse, but it is special to me and Josh because we have actually met so many of our listeners at the Black Horse from around the world. We're lucky to live in New York, where it's kind of a crossroads, and we have people from Australia and Ireland and England and Barbados, even all sorts of people coming through New York, and they can come join us in the Black Horse. And yeah, as you said, the staff creates this environment where we're all welcome, and we're all also football fans. Like, football is in the Premier League in particular has made a priority there.
Yep.
So if it's not the Black Horse, it's a good reminder. Like the Black Horse, I only found that they had a GoFundMe page because I went to GoFundMe and searched for them because I wanted to know what was up with them. A lot of these businesses in our communities don't have the platforms that a lot of us have on social media to let people know. So think about that. And if there is some place in your neighborhood that you love and you're curious as to how they're getting along during this crisis, do not be shy in reaching out to them and asking them what you and the community can do, because it's really important for what's going to be there when we're all out of the house again soon, I hope.
Totally. So,
just a note to support local business as best you can.
Yeah, exactly. True at all times, but especially this time, especially if like Brandon and I, you're lucky enough that you can still do your real job at home, which obviously not everybody has the luxury of doing. And so both of us are extremely lucky in that regard. And one final note, Brandon, before we get into our draft this week, the Bundesliga looks like it's going to be back. Looks like May 9th is when it's actually going to come back. There will be no fans in the stands. That is a given. They may or may not have masks. I don't. That's not clear. I saw something today that
insane. It's really crazy.
Yeah, and that if they play wearing masks, that might be too much. That might be. I'm not sure if I can handle that. That'll look like a bunch of doctors on their break, playing together.
It'll be like the football ramble. They do who is the masked winger on the football ramble. It'll be that come to literal life, right?
Yeah, it'll be strange. And so we'll see. I don't know how that's really feasible though when you're going on like lung busting runs. But not that I don't value safety or whatever, but like it just seems hard to do. So we'll see. If the Bundesliga actually does come back, then I think that you and I've always loved the Bundesliga in a kind of it's like a beloved, you know, cousin that I never see or something like that. Uh-huh. You know, I'm like, you're great.
I've heard
like,
great things about you.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've seen you, you know, once every couple of years and I love you. You're awesome. I wish to say we're we connect, you know.
But you never follow up, do you?
Well, we don't live in the same town, you know, and it's just hard to.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. But if the Bundesliga comes back, and it's actually a really good league this year. I mean, it's pretty tight at the top. You know, it's not one of these typical years where Bayern Munich is, you know, 16 points ahead, and everyone else is just trying to keep up. It's a good competitive season. And so, it could be a lot of fun. And I mean, obviously, you have, some incredible players at Dortmund, you know, Haaland and Jadon Sancho. And then, you know, of course, Bayern has a number of extraordinary players as well. But then you have anyway, so, you know, we could go on about the Bundesliga, but I think next week, assuming that assuming that the season does actually kick off on May 9th, and I think next week we'll do a real like full on discussion about the Bundesliga, you know, who to watch, who to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'll be so thrilled. Like, imagine if we could wake up on Saturday morning and have football again. Like, I would watch like Kazakhstan football at this point. Like, just give me anything.
What do you got? People running around. Fantastic. I love it. Yeah. And Bundesliga is just, it's lousy with American players. So that will be fun to,
that's true
to
too.
Monitor
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bundesliga, hoping you're back. Then a quick note here for our Patreon before we take a break. Of course, our Patreon payments are suspended through May. So we suspended the payments in April, and now they're suspended for May as well for our current Patreon members. So if you're currently a Patreon supporter, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to touch anything. You don't have to press any buttons. You're just not going to be charged because, you know, we're not producing It's not that we're not producing. Listen, Josh, we're here, are we
yeah,
not?
Yeah.
But there's no FPL season, so there's no point in charging our supporters. We love you, and we just appreciate you clicking play on these episodes. So
yeah.
No charges. Yeah. If you want any more information on how to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Yeah, and to me, it's not – I mean, you know, yeah, our Slack's still active. It's just a – I think both of us kind of feel like we don't want anyone to have to decide whether they want to keep supporting us or not because the money is tight right now, you know? And so I think that's just, it's just one thing, you know, it's one simple thing that we can cut and it's fine, you know? So, for now, you know, we'll be back with hopefully we'll actually be able to be back with normal Patreon content and podcasts, I don't know. Hopefully in May. We'll see. Maybe in June. But yeah, regardless.
I miss it, Josh. I really do. We're going to talk about things that we miss writ large, but I do miss like creating all that special Patreon content. I just miss talking about FPL. Let's not get too broad.
And the money.
I miss FPL.
I mean, yeah.
The money.
all right. So let's take a quick break and we'll get back and we're going to draft the dumb things that you and I miss from our pre-quarantine lives.
Hello, friends. Currently, we have no Premier League, no NBA, no NHL, no Major League Baseball. Every time I do this ad read, I have to say Major League Baseball. NHL doesn't get the full read there. Listen, all these sports leagues on hiatus, you might think there's nothing at all to bet on. Well, everyone, you're wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. And poker especially is a great way just to get it out of your system a little bit on a quiet Thursday evening. NFL just hosted their draft. If you're missing the NFL in particular, there's no problem with BetOnline. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations that you can bet on, a lot like the virtual FPL we were talking about earlier in the episode. You can also bet on TV shows like Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, bet on stock prices, even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. It's all open 24 hours a day, and it's all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE, that's BLUEWIRE, all one word. Join today and receive a new welcome bonus at betonline.ag, your online wagering solution.
Brandon, we're back. Our draft begins in just a moment, but first I am going to flip a coin in the air. Decide who gets to pick the dumb thing they miss most first. Okay, so I'm going to flip it, and then you can call heads or tails, and I'll tell you when I'm flipping. Okay, ready?
Okay.
All right, one, two.
You're like two-faced over there.
One, two, three, flipping. Okay.
Tails.
Heads. You have to trust me again.
It's 2 weeks in a row I've lost.
Nope, I'm looking here at, was it Alexander Hamilton? Is he the one in the nickel? I think that's him. So,
wow, his hit Broadway show wasn't enough for this guy. Now he's got to be on Money.
Maybe it's Thomas Jefferson. I can't remember anymore. I think I may just have Hamilton on the brain. It's probably Thomas Jefferson. That would be.
Here's the problem with American currency. All the dudes on the coins look exactly the same, except for Lincoln.
I would like to think that I once knew who was on the nickel, Brandon. It is Thomas Jefferson. I should have known. All right. Let's plow forward, shall we?
Plow away. Josh.
Plow forward. You've got what is the expression pick. There? I don't know. Yeah, let's move on. All right. So the things I miss most, the dumb thing I miss most from my pre-quarantine life, Brandon. Okay. Do we need to give any more context? I guess not. Right. It's just, you know. We're trying to avoid the obvious things like seeing our friends and bringing our kids to the playground and that like kind of maudlin, but obviously very real stuff that we miss.
How I got to my list was how I get to most things in my life. I sat in a chair alone, silently, and I stared into the middle distance and I just let it come to me. What were things that I would rather be doing? Yeah. And that's where my list is.
That makes sense. And I suspect both of ours will be a little big city focused, you know, because we'll see what we both end up picking here. So I get the first pick in this draft, Brandon, and my first pick is my commute. The thing that people complain the most about living in New York is the thing that I now miss more than anything, a miserable 50-minute commute I don't even live that deep into Brooklyn, but from Brooklyn to Midtown Manhattan every day, twice a day, 100 minutes a day I spend in this thing. It has been for 14 years, however long I've lived here, it has been hell, and now I would love to have it back in my life. I would love to get on the subway, crank through 3 podcasts a day, read my phone, ignore every, you know, just be in my little head for 100 minutes a day, you know.
Well, that's it, right? Like, it's how I feel about going to the airport. Like, there's something special about the airport because it feels like this limbo, this liminal space where you're neither here nor there. Yep. And the best thing about that is that there is this brief sensation that no one can reach you, because in the real world, most of us just we're open to communication, whether it's from the family we live with or the coworkers who are trying to hit us here or there, everywhere.
Yeah.
And the commute is a similar thing. Like, you have a mission, you have a quest, and you're trying to get from A to B, and that takes precedence.
Well, I think this applies to you, I think, even on a plane, because I was with you in March when you ate a chicken curry, a full chicken curry dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning on an airplane, which was not usually advisable, but it was, it worked out okay. You got like 30 minutes of sleep that night. So
if only I could eat a full chicken curry on the New York City subway at 8 in the morning when I'm commuting to the office, that would be fantastic. I mean, I'm sure everyone can relate, even if you drive from, the suburbs into town, you walk. It's the same thing. It's a routine that we are totally missing right now. And I think what I'm kind of loving about working from home is the moment where I shut my laptop down and immediately I'm able to fix a cocktail for me and my wife. Yeah. And there's an immediacy there from going from work mode to life mode. But it's unnatural as far as I'm concerned, because what I actually think feels, or maybe I'm trained, is that hour between leaving the office and getting back to the home circulation is that decompression time that the commute does offer you.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful for me anyway. I often need more than an hour, Brandon, to be quite honest with you. I need like 4, sometimes a whole night to decompress from a bad day at work. It's interesting just thinking about this list, because it got me thinking about kind of all of the things that I miss about just my like normal life, you know. And I don't know about you, but like the first month or so when I was home, it was kind of like, you know, it was just like, all right, let's put our heads down and get through this. But like the last couple of weeks, I feel like I have gotten a little more contemplative, you know, where it's like, what do I even want? You know, it's like, what do I want? Like out of life, you know, it's been like, mm-hmm. I don't know how, if anyone else listening has felt this way, but I've entered a much more philosophical zone, you know, where it's like, what do I even do with my day? You know, like normally, like, you know, so maybe there is, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're lucky enough to be healthy, like there are some, upsides possibly to this, you know, it sort of shakes you out of some ruts that you might be in. I don't know. That's how I'm feeling a little bit recently.
Yeah. Different perspectives are good. They can certainly help in ways. I actually relegated my commute, and I literally have on my notes app here, my commute. I moved that to my alt entries because I knew it was going to be one of yours.
And, I brought this up a couple times with you recently. All right. Yeah. So you get the second pick in the draft, Brandon. What's your selection?
All right. Second pick. This is rather specific, but I think it's something that in the spirit of you'll appreciate. I miss the escalator up to the Alamo Draft House. And there's a movie theater in downtown Brooklyn called the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
And there it's in this little mall, and there are, you have to take like five escalators to get all the way up to the top floor where the Alamo is. And
which somehow everybody does, even though there's a full bank of elevators right there. It's just like five elevators. They run constantly, but everyone takes the escalator for some reason up like five flights.
Well, I will tell you why they take the escalator, because it's so clearly a prelude to a movie experience.
Yeah.
And there is nothing more exciting than going to the movies. I mean, there are other things that are exciting, like, you know, like going into the bedroom and in fun, other fun stuff like that. But movies, we can all get behind movie for sleep. Everyone loves sleep. And I mean, I think if I were to bring back as quickly as possible any communal experience beyond live sports, it would be going to the movie theater. So when I think about like what I miss about going to the movies, it's that sense of anticipation and excitement heading into the movie theater right before the lights go down. And I cannot wait to go back to the movies. And like the point B to this A is also movie trailers. I think like you, Josh, you have a hunger for movie trailers. You go to like the Apple TV has a movie trailer app, and you go there and it's all the newest movie trailers. There are no new movie trailers right now. And that's a great way to piss away 20 minutes before you go to bed.
Yeah.
But there are no new movies coming out, so there are no new trailers.
I know.
I want movie trailers.
I've been holding out hope about the theaters opening sooner. And then there was some interview with the AMC. It was a big chance movie theaters in the United States. The AMC head was like, well, we're not going to open the theaters until there's new movies out. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, what does that mean? You know? But yeah, cause I agree with you, especially at a place like the Alamo Draft House, which is one of these, you know, newfangled styles of theaters where you can buy your tickets in advance. So you don't have that anxiety that I had up until places like this started opening of like, I can't take the escalator because if I take the elevator, it might be 18 seconds faster and I can get past four people and get a slightly better, you know,
get a better seat.
Yeah. I mean, this is not like an ancient experience. I mean, you and I have a very distinct memory of going to whatever that Darjeeling Limited with our friend Steve. It was a whole night that we'd planned.
He just left.
Yeah. He sat down in the only three seats left. He said, I can't watch this movie here. And just left. I think he even got a refund, which is remarkable. Like, just like, you know, it was not sold out. I don't know. But anyway, or, you know, I don't know. He wasn't like the theater blew up here or something. So, I think that's a really good one. I love going to that Alamo Draft House too. I have a movie-ish one later on, but that I may skip now, but yeah, I'm with you. I think, that's a great experience. All right. So pick number two. My second pick is handshakes, hugs, and kisses with literally everyone. You and I are both.
No, oh my God. This is one of my picks, Josh. This is never going to work because we're too similar. All right. I have to relegate one of my picks now. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about our UK trip where we did cheek kisses with like a ton of people. We shook everybody's hand. We hugged a million people, slapped people on the back. You and I are both like, you know, pretty affectionate types, you know? I mean, like, we don't shy away from any of that stuff. And, you know, but these are like, not like, I would never think to myself, oh, I miss like shaking someone's hand, you know, but it's like, I really do, you know, it's like, I remember I went to see, our friend, Trevor, his wife, and their son. And this is like just a day or two after we got back from the UK trip, before like everything went haywire. And we gave them hugs goodbye when we left. And I was like, I was just thinking a couple of days ago, I was like, they're the last people like I've touched outside of my immediate family in like 6 weeks, you know, like, and it's just, you think about all the little hands that you shake and like shoulders that you tap when someone's in your way, and just like all of these, like the faces you punch in your case, you know, it's just all of these things that that you just don't.
I have so much anger I need to get out, Josh.
Yeah. So okay. So it sounds like you're with me on this one.
I am with you. I think like, and I'll just get super cosmic. I don't care. I think there's like a total transfer of energy happening when you hug someone, when you touch them in, you know, like a, in a cool way, like that everyone's happy to be touched sort of a thing. Like I was raised in a family where, you know, if hugging was the primary mode of communication, and that's how I respond, and that's how I transfer a lot of energy to people.
Yeah.
And your father's, I miss it so.
I've hugged your father several times. I mean, I haven't seen him in a few years, but he's, you know, yeah, that's sort of the family coming. I was thinking a second ago, as you were talking about like that transfer of energy, and I was thinking about how people talk about like a weak handshake, and I don't think it's really about the weakness. It's about the sincerity of it, you know? And so it's like, you just like, it's a weak handshake is one where you can tell the person is very clearly not interested in meeting you, you know, or talking to you. And I think that's, there is a kind of like a connection point that comes with that, or, you know, or giving somebody a hug, or even like air kisses, you know, just like little like sort of hellos that I've never actually really mastered. I'm never sure how much you're actually supposed to kiss the person on the cheek, if at all, you know. It's like, I feel like I was never taught, and now I like don't know how to find the answer to that, you know? So it's a, it's a tricky one. So, so that is my,
I don't know either, dude.
It's right. I do like a little bit. I brush the cheek, you know, that seems like the right way to go.
You just make that lip smacking sound like as close to their eardrum as possible.
All right. So that's my second pick. What is your second pick, Brandon?
All right. Second pick for BK's team is being at a bar. And this could be one of two ways. Mm-hmm. Alone or with one other person.
Yes.
So I think what,
so it's an empty
what's
bar
embedded,
you're at one end of the bar and there's one single solitary person at the other end of the bar, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like a There Will Be Blood style bar.
it sounds awful when you put it that way, Josh, but in my mind it's beautiful. I think it's kind of like the freedom to be alone or to be with people is what I'm missing, but
you have a Friday night ritual, right? This is something that you had done. Yeah. I mean, maybe not every Friday, but many Fridays over the years, right? You've had kind of a little personal ritual.
It's something that is sort of tied to FPL as well, because, you know, most deadlines are Saturday morning. So after a week of work, Friday is done. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of everyone. I'm going to stop at one of my favorite local bars in my neighborhood off the subway. It's just walking distance from my apartment. Get a few beers, have a delicious cheeseburger, and I'm alone with my thoughts, but I am also with the people. So it's kind of like you're in the community, but you're also able to be apart from everything. It's it's kind of hand in hand with the whole commute. I can't compute how I don't have that freedom to be in or out of that space. And the bar is a really great social sort of, it's a social spot. Well, the bar is just a special thing in that, yes, I've got my Friday ritual, but also whenever you're out, say you and your wife go out or you're out with a friend to do an activity, you just want to chat with them, say, hey, shouldn't we just pop in here and have a drink? So the bar is a place where you can have a ritual, and it can be a place that you go and you sit, but it is also a place that is always there for you to just stop and be communal with someone. Yeah. And
no, I've seen chairs.
I just can't. Actually, and I will to dispute the Cheers model of everyone knows your name. Mm-hmm. I do think the best bars know who you are. They know what you drink, but they don't know your name or anything about you.
That is a good.
I think there's a line that you have to walk.
That's very well put. You are actually better, even at our beloved Black Horse, with knowing people's names. And I've been going there for years, and I'm still like not great when it comes to that. So, I think that's a good, very good pick. Here's my number three, Brandon, a little bit of a swerve from your number two, a little more insincere, perhaps. Going to the store for one thing. I really miss going to the store to get exactly one thing. Uh-huh. Don't even need to get it. Don't even need it. Uh-huh. There's a chain of pharmacies in New York called Duane Reade, and they're every three blocks or so, they're all over the place. They're like, they're Pret and Duane Reade are just like everywhere in Manhattan. And I will often, like three times a week, like just walk into a Duane Reade, like just to like kill time with lunch break and be like, well, I probably need something, like there's probably something here that I need. Maybe I need aspirin today. Maybe I need a snack for the afternoon. Maybe I need whatever, and it just that like
toilet paper.
Yeah. Toilet paper, penicillin, but it's like just that, like
condoms,
just that feeling of like, I'm just going to grab, one thing, and I'm not even going to like, I don't have a list. I don't have any reason to be here. I can absolutely buy this 4 days from now. But I'm just going to do it just to be in a store, just to like kill time. That has not happened in months now. Like that's a crazy thing.
My wife was making a carrot cake the other day and she was missing one ingredient, and it was kind of a moment where we looked at each other like, what are we going to do? It was like, the enemy is storming the castle. What's the move?
Yeah.
And we just kind of had to make the gut call of, we're just going to make do, because it's not worth going to the store to get walnuts.
Flour.
or flour. Right. We'll make do without flour. It is limiting. It's hamstringing.
Was it the Bon Appetit one that I had made a couple weeks ago that I'd share?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ask her. Okay. It was one of those where I didn't ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just ate it.
Well, the thing is, now you do that and you're like, okay, now I guess I can invent 47 other things that I can get while I'm, it's like it's much more complicated and you feel kind of guilty the whole time too. And I don't know. I miss that. I miss walking into especially a pharmacy. I don't know why, because this place has like a little bit of everything, killing 20 minutes. Just like listening to a podcast usually. It's like it's raining outside. I'm like, I just pop into the pharmacy for 20 minutes and browse.
It will take you 20 minutes at any pharmacy to figure out where the deodorant is, because it's always in a different place. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
Good pick, Josh. My third pick is inspired by the recent passing of one of my faves, Bill Withers. You'd all know Bill Withers by the song Lean On Me, mm-hmm. which is all about being there for friends and family.
Yeah.
What I miss is the impromptu meetup. And, there are days where we're at the office and one of us will G-chat the other and say, hey, let's meet up at, I can't even remember, the Jimmy's Corner. Let's meet up at Jimmy's Corner or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a way to, if you need something, if you need to lean on somebody, if you just had a good thing that happened to you and you want to share it with somebody. And it's the impromptu nature that I love. So the impromptu meetup is something I'm missing.
A gin and tonic at 12:45 p.m. at Jamie's Corner is a slightly illicit feeling. You know, you're on your lunch break, and yeah, you don't have long. You know, and I feel like there's often news. So I mean, often you and I will just meet for fantasy news, like you know, I don't know, like it'll be like, can you believe like so and so's injured? We need to like plot this out, you know, or, or, you know, sometimes it'll be like personal life stuff as well. But I miss that. I miss that too.
That's actually a good way to frame it is the lunchtime drink, which is illicit. And working from home, I have deemed that a line I can't cross because might not be able to undo it. So I'm not having any drinks before 5 o'clock. But when you're out in the world and the office, the illicit lunchtime drink is perfectly permissible.
Yeah. I mean, as long as nobody knows, you know, buy a pack of gum, you know, get back in. You're fine.
Excuse me. I'm stepping out to buy a pack of gum.
It's a little tougher in the open office plan days, you know, so we'll see. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I honestly can't imagine going back to my office until probably September or something, you know, so it's such a weird, it's just crazy how fast it's all changed. All right. So fourth pick is talking about my day. I don't know. Is that kind of dumb or not? But like, you know, it's like you get home from work and somebody asks you about your day. And I, much like I did when I was 16, have no answer ever. You know, how was your day?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sucked.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's like, how was your day? I don't know. It was commute stunk. Work was bad. And commute home stunk as well. So here I am.
Everything's going to change now that you have this perspective. You're going to be like, the commute was amazing, darling. Boy, you look ravishing. Yeah. This is great. Oh, and my whole family is here. What's for dinner? Can I help?
And I read this amazing article in this literary journal on the way in. I can't wait to tell you about it.
You're going to subscribe to N+1 now?
Finally, yeah. Plowshares, Tin House, I mean, the whole lot. I'm going to get all of them. That is a question I've always struggled with. It's not like I don't like my, you know, I'm perfectly happy with my job and living, you know, whatever. But like, just I still have that sullen teenager thing where it's like someone asks me on my day and I'm like, even if it was a good day, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You know, I got nothing. Sorry. Yeah. You know, I don't know. There's like some instinctive thing where you're like, nope. Like you get a promotion that day and I'd be like, I don't know. You know, something happened. I don't know. We'll talk about it. And it's like after dinner, I can usually do it, you know, but it's that like that specific like 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. hour. I'm just like, I can't talk about anything, you know, like just put on some music and let's get through this. Let's get through.
Well, you know, it's not something that you want to. It's not something you want to define your life. It keeps coming back to this idea of the commute. You're commuting home, and you're like, there are plenty of people out there who are very lucky to love their job, and it's something that they want to always be thinking about, and they also want to share with other people.
Right.
There is the other class.
We know
of
too
people,
many.
Which
we
both
know
you
too
and
many.
I fit into.
Yeah, you and I in New York know too many of these people.
Yeah, and I think you and I are the sort where, you know, we are really excited to shed that so that we can get back to being our usual selves where, you know, we're like banter merchants and want to talk about things that are not related to work, be they sports or pop culture or just like chill with our families. So it's a different thing that you want to get back to.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Like most of us, like regular check-ins with the parents on phone calls. We did that with my parents for like 4 weekends straight. And on the fourth phone call, the call was basically dead after 5 minutes because we had absolutely nothing left to talk about. Because, you know, the how was your day conversation was like, nothing has changed since the last time we spoke to you. So it's killed that question for sure. Good pick. All right. My fourth pick is a total cheat, because it's sports but I will try to make this a dumb thing that I miss, good for this conversation in that, like, what do I miss about it? What do I miss about sports? And I think I tipped my hand when I was talking about the Michael Jordan documentary and about how I turn on sports TV expecting to see a live event. And it's this idea of turning on the TV and seeing that life is happening with or without me.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode of Growing Pains with Kirk Cameron. Do you remember the sitcom?
Of course I do. Alan Thicke.
Of course you do. Right. Yeah, so
many others.
Kirk Cameron plays this like layabout high schooler who's like a total slacker. He plays hooky. He stays home sick. And he realizes that Gilligan's Island is on during the day when he's at school. And he has this epiphany of like, oh, wait, like there are things happening here when I'm not here. And yeah. I love this sensation of when you tune into a sporting event, usually like in the middle of it. And like when my wife goes to bed, she usually goes to bed around 10, 10:30. And I've still got a little gas in the tank, turn on some sports. And it's like in the middle of a basketball game or a hockey game. And it's just all happening. And it's up to me to sort of catch up. And it's not, it hasn't waited for me to arrive. It's just all these people that are gathered and it's an event. And, I really miss that feeling. It's like an innocent sort of a feeling.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like, I miss like coming out of a meeting, you know, and like finding out news. Like you never miss anything anymore. Uh-huh. And it's like such a, yeah, I don't like being this plugged in. I don't think it's good. You know, I don't think it does not make me happier. It's like, and now it's like, you know, I should not be on Twitter this much. I'm finding everybody extremely annoying after, you know, being this active on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're a little too connected.
Yeah.
Even though we're completely disconnected.
All right. My fifth.
All right, so sports. What's your final pick?
Yeah, fifth and final pick here. I've got a bunch. I'm not going to say movie theater popcorn now because you did say the Alamo Drafthouse. I feel like you kind of you captured. I'm going to give you that whole movie theater experience.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I am going to go with here's a dumb one that I really do miss. Deli iced coffee, Brandon. I love going to, or I should say like little like coffee stands too. I have a guy at 45th Street near my office that I have been going to for years, and he is incredibly cheerful man. He is Egyptian and loves Mo Salah, which somehow we got to talking about once. And of course I love Mo Salah as well. And so he's just a very cheerful, very New York.
I would love to know how that came up in conversation.
Oh, who even knows? Like probably me being like a whatever. And but anyway, he's extremely nice, and it is a very New York experience to have a local coffee guy that you like. Uh-huh. You said, I don't know his name either. It's like the bar thing, you know. It's I don't know, you know. I don't know if he has kids or whatever, you know. But we just, you know, the little chat, $2. It has never been more than $2. He could be charging other people more money. I have no idea. But for me, it's the same. He knows exactly what and starts making it when he sees me. And I hand him my $2. I get my iced coffee and I move on with my day, you know. And I get iced coffee. I'm like a 12-month-a-year iced coffee person. And you know, I don't do this like every day, but like, you know, three times a week, this is like a ritual that I really miss. And you know, deli iced coffee is just, I don't know why it's so good. I will take $2 deli iced coffee over $4.25 Starbucks cold brew any day. I don't know why it's better to me, but it is.
Well, if it's iced coffee, I'm definitely putting milk in it. And I think if you're introducing milk to coffee, the coffee is like irrelevant. It all comes down to the feel of the plastic cup and the quality of the milk, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I've weaned myself off the milk in the iced coffee, by the way. I don't drink iced coffee.
Oh, black. You're just going straight iced coffee.
Just like well, at some point I actually like slowly did it. And I was like, and now, mm-hmm. now it's just straight black iced coffee. And I like it. I think I'm really used to it now.
I dig it. I mean, I'm a black coffee drinker, as you are, when it's hot coffee, but iced coffee, I don't know. It's a habit. So
yeah.
All right. My fifth draft pick is similar in that it's a way to break up the day, but I miss the coworker side chat, and it's the you kind of maybe just put a project on hold or finish one, and you need to sort of stretch your arms. You need to mentally break away mm-hmm. from the desk, and you kind of turn to a coworker and you're like, so did you, you watch Schitt's Creek last night? that sort of
yeah,
a thing.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can't replicate working from home because what are you going to set up like a video conference chat just to ask them if they mm-hmm. watch Game of Thrones or not?
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. No. So
not you, you know, or me anyway. There are people who are doing like 3 o'clock, get up and dance things in my office. And that's, I can't.
Boo. You know, there is a subtle difference between forced fun and this was organic and all I needed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
that sounds kind of weird to say, but I think you know that that's yeah. true. Mm-hmm. And I think the coworker side chat is something that a lot of us people working from home are missing out on.
Yeah.
And all my coworkers out there who are listening, which are none, I miss chatting with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good one. It's just that little, yeah, it's all these little interactions, right? With your coffee person, with your, with a coworker. It's like these like informal ones, you know, or like, they're not things you would think that you value, you know, until you don't have them. So, I think that's a perfect note to end on. So those are our five. If we missed any dumb things, let us know. You can let us know on our Patreon. You can support us there, patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can say thanks and support what we do. You can also find us and talk with us on I'm going to flip this around. I'm going to do the socials right now.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter @HailCheaters, Instagram @HailCheaters. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email is hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can find all this information and more at alwayscheating.com. Yeah, Weird Out Show. There's no Game Week 23 preview or whatever. So here's where we are. once again, thank you to special shout out to our producer patrons. Brennan, can you give them a quick shout out and thank you?
Oh, I'd be so happy to. Thank you to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, Da Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning. Jazz Binning, who is one of the great staff at the Black Horse. And Jazz supports us, and I'm so proud to support the Black Horse in return during this time. So again, we've got that link to the Black Horse Bar GoFundMe page in the show notes. Check that out. So big thanks to Jazz during this time. Also, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodachtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, who is the inventor of the champ manager. What is it, Fantasy Champ Man? Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's that.
Something like that. Well done, Andy. Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com. FPLmerch.com stepping up and contributing to that Black Horse GoFundMe. Well done, sir. And James Conroy. Outstanding. So much love. Thank you to everyone listening for pressing play. Hope you're all staying safe and you are well.
Yeah, I'll second that. And hopefully next week we'll have a fun and exciting Bundesliga preview to come, which I think would be a fun little temporary pivot for the Always Cheating podcast. So hopefully we'll have some more new news this week. But if you're liking these drafts, let us know. We enjoy doing them, but I want to make sure people are actually enjoying listening to them as well. So give us a little feedback at all those places I mentioned before, and have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Boku forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.